You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, James Edwards, Saturday evening, April 20th, and you're listening to the Political Cesspool, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to our AM FM affiliate stations across the country, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network. And of course, we were preparing for a show tonight, and everything got changed because of what happened in Boston, that tragic turn of events. And so Keith Alexander, who normally opens the show with me, will be closer tonight. He'll be coming in a little bit later, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. But indeed, Eddie the Bombardier Miller is with me to get things started tonight, and we pushed everything aside so we could open the show with our coverage and our take on the matter, and we're going to get into that. But before we do, we have a very special guest on the line. I'm going to let Eddie the Bombardier Miller introduce her.
Good afternoon, Diane, my running machine dear friend.
Hello, Eddie. Great.
You're
to
coming
talk
in loud
to you.
And clear. I couldn't be happier. Diane, I hate to rush. We've only got about 8 minutes. We've had to really change the show around. But what I'm going to do, I'm just going to introduce you. Diane has run. She's on, what, her 195th marathon. Is that right, Diane?
Exactly. Today was 195.
And Diane was my pacer at St. Jude, and she's one of my idols. You know, she's a machine. Diane. Now, I'd like to tell the audience that Diane was at the Boston Marathon, and I believe Diane was coming up on mile 26 when the bombs went off. Is that right, Diane?
Yes, I was just coming on mile 26.
Okay, now Diane, I'm just going to ask you a question too, if you will. So we're so short on time. If you will describe to the audience the best of your ability and summarize it. From the start when you took off on the marathon, and see if, you know, what it looked like, if you noticed anything unusual. Just tell us about how that was, the entire experience, in your own words, and I'm going to shut up and let you roll.
Okay. Yeah, the start of the marathon was a wonderful day. Everybody thought they'd have PRs and just have a fabulous time. As time went on, we were approaching mile 25. I was looking at my watch and thought, oh, almost done. But by that point, I was just so cold, and I just couldn't wait to get to the finish line. Well into mile 25, I started noticing a few runners running back toward me, totally oblivious to what was going on. I thought, wow, okay, that's very nice. They're coming back to run their friends in. I was clueless and just continued on until all of a sudden reaching a dead stop because the person in front of me had stopped, and right in front of them, people had stopped. And we just figured somebody was down on the ground. We just assumed we were having to wait for medics to come and tend to a runner down. We had no idea what just transpired until the gentleman came running out screaming, there's a bomb at the finish line. Then it was just the sadness, and everybody was just so still and quiet and didn't know what to do. People were grabbing their cell phones, trying to send messages or make phone calls. All the phones were shut down. Nothing was getting through. We didn't know the extent of it. In my mind, I hear a bomb. I'm thinking a blast where concrete buildings are falling, and all I knew was my family is down at that finish line, and just envisioned the worst.
Did you hear the bomb go off, Diane?
No, I did not. My husband was down there at the finish line. He felt it, saw it, heard it, felt it, smelled it. Fortunately, he was fine. Ironically, he was running late getting to the finish line and was afraid he'd miss me. It's all these little things that happen that now we're just very thankful for.
I'm so thankful, Diane. I tell you what, I'll just like the audience know, I know Diane. I'm not going to tell her last name for security reasons, but Diane is a stellar person. As a matter of fact, I've never met anyone like Diane in my 66 years on this earth. She's an incredible lady, and she helps people more than anybody I've ever known. You know, she's a hero at St. Jude, a hero with kids everywhere, hero with the human race. Diane, I'm just so thankful you didn't get hurt. Could you describe what went on at the? How close did you get to the finish line before the police
I was just approaching mile 26.
So they took you out. Okay. How, and just give us a brief description, if you can, how were the people there in Boston, the people, the supporting cast, just the people, the spectators, the police, the fire department, et cetera, how did they react in a good manner?
Oh, they were amazing. Watching how swiftly the police came and blocked the road and continued to back everybody up further and further away, just to make sure nobody was hurt. And actually, from what I heard, people back as far back as mile 18, they were rerouted on the course. So they got word to those people. They were oblivious to what had just transpired. They just thought they were being rerouted for whatever reason and were still going to reach the finish line. That wasn't the case at all. By the time they continued on running, they realized that they were just all gathered around and there was no finish line. I saw people coming out of their house, offering you food, offering you to come in and get warm, offering your to drive you somewhere. One scene that is fresh in my mind, as I was walking aimlessly around, somebody came in and gave me a towel just to keep me warm, and I went on my way walking to try and figure out how to meet up with my husband, who was down there. And one elderly gentleman came out of his house with this old pitcher of water and an armful of cups, cupping them all and saying, would you like some water? Would you like some water? And everybody just tried to think of a way. They wanted to help. They didn't quite know exactly what to do, but they all did whatever they could to make everybody feel comfortable and make them feel that they were helpful.
It's encouraging to hear the outpouring of humanity that manifests itself after a terrible situation like that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be spending the remaining part of this first hour dissecting this story behind the scenes from a political angle, but we wanted to start things off tonight from a personal angle, and having this woman on, who's a friend of Eddie Miller's, who has become a player himself in the marathon circuit. And Diane, we thank you for making yourself available tonight. Last question we have before we run out of time.
And I
echo Eddie's sentiments that, you know, that was a nightmare. It could have been a lot worse. We're very glad that you and yours were safe got out of that safely.
Yes, we were very fortunate to have a few fatalities because of the magnitude of the crowd support that is along that course. It could have been far worse.
Eddie just mentioned that he had his entire church praying for you. So you've got friends down here in Memphis. But my last question for you is, obviously, having been there, you were much more personally attached to this than me or the other people down here in Memphis who weren't in Boston and running in that marathon when this actually took place. What's your take on the events that have unfolded over the course of the week since you were there? You know, obviously, leading up to last night with the capture of one of the two suspects.
I'm sorry, I wasn't able to hear the question.
I was just saying, what's your take on the events that have unfolded since you left Boston, culminating with last night with the capture of the second of the two suspects?
Yeah, I just don't even know what to think. My heart just breaks for the families and everybody affected, and I wasn't able to see. I purposely didn't watch a lot of the news.
So you, unlike everybody else who's been glued to it, you distance yourself, and I can understand that. You lived it. Diane, thanks for making yourself available. I know you're on the road right now. Another marathon you ran today. God bless you. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again shortly.
Thank you, Eddie. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Since disaster can strike at any time, you always need to be prepared. And not just with an insurance policy. Superstorm Sandy left thousands of people starving and stranded for weeks. You need to be prepared with an emergency supply of food. Now through April 30th, save up to 25% on freeze-dried food during the Freeze Dry Guy Mix and Match number 10 can sale. Freeze-dried food packed in heavy-duty double enameled number 10 cans. With over 99% of the oxygen removed, it has the longest shelf life of any food available. Over 25 years. Choose from entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts. All made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Free shipping to 48 states. Now through April 30th, save up to 25%. Visit freezedryguy.com. freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Act today. Don't miss out.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Back to the program now. James Edwards, Eddie Miller in studio for the first hour tonight. Keith Alexander will be our closer this evening rather than the opening act, as we have shifted things around to talk about what happened in Boston, both at the marathon and now, of course, in the days since. First of all, you know, we're going to be getting into, was it a false flag or was it perhaps as the media is reporting? To me, it's never all one or the other. I mean, some people will say anytime you have something like this occur, it has to be a false flag, and it is always a false flag. Some people will say, no, it's always what the media tells us. They're not going to lie about something like this. The way I see it is, in some cases, sure, the government has a hand in tragedies to advance their agenda. Sometimes people literally do things and legitimately do things that the government didn't know about in advance. So what one was this? And we're going to analyze that, toss it back and forth. But the one question I had was, why was this such a big story? Why was this 24/7 media saturation for a week? When you look at it in the grand scheme of things, three people died. Now, a lot of people got injured. And then, of course, there was the firefight with the police, according to the press. But just the bombing at the marathon, yeah, it was a tragic, horrible ordeal. If anybody that I knew or loved had been up there, it would have been life-altering, life-changing. It would have been the biggest thing that ever happened in my life. But ultimately, three people died. That's what we call a slow night in South Memphis with the gangbangers. That's, you know, that's a night off for them. So three people died. So why is this, why was it such saturation media coverage? It's not rocket science as far as I'm concerned. The simplest answer is the correct one. For ratings. I mean, this is a story. The media is playing it up because they want viewers. I had a friend, I have a friend that lives in Florida. And when one of the hurricanes came last year, he told me that I was seeing all these news reports saying this hurricane is just devastating this town. And I won't give away the town because I don't want to give away this person's identity, but I called him. I said, buddy, I'm worried about you. I'm seeing all this stuff about this devastating tornado, or excuse me, hurricane, and it's blowing down the town. Are you okay? Are you safe? Or is your house okay? And he told me that the hurricane was passing over, but it was pretty much a rainstorm. And I said, no, you're, you know, I'm seeing it on the news. They're saying it's terrible. He said, James, The bars are open. The touristy part of town, everybody's out there. They're walking up and down the street. He said, I saw it on the news, too. I walked down to where CNN and Fox and all the networks were at. He said they had wind machines and rain machines blowing on the anchors to make it look like the hurricane was more devastating than what it really was. He said, I knew the media was biased. I knew the media lied, but you can't even trust them to get the weather reports right. And I said, well, why? I can understand him lying about a political report, but why would they lie about the weather? He said, ratings. It makes a good story if you think that people are suffering or in harm's way with a major hurricane. But he said, it's pretty much a good rain shower happening here right now. The news is lying. So that, in a nutshell, is what I think is happening with all the media attention. They just want a story, something sensational to keep you tuned in through the commercial breaks for their sponsors. So that's what I think is going on there. But back to the bigger question. What really happened? Were these just two lone rangers that were hell-bent on blowing up, setting off a few bombs in Boston? Or was it something? Was it a false flag? And joining us now is Sam Bushman, host of the Liberty Roundtable show, owner of Liberty News Radio Network, who has been tracking this story from its very inception all the way through. He is more well-versed in this than I could be if I tried. Sam is, as far as I'm concerned, the expert to have on the program right now. Sam, spent more time talking than I intended to open this segment, but what's your take on what's happening and what has happened in Boston?
All right, well, let's start over and say this. I have been watching it absolutely like a hawk, and I'm convinced you're absolutely right. Ratings has a lot to do with it, but I would submit to you more so than even ratings, more so than even money, because remember, the government and the media are in bed together, and they can print money, okay? And they control popular opinion, but it's about ratings, you're right. But it's also more about intentional indoctrination. In the court, they call it leading the witness. Okay, they're leading the public intentionally for an agenda. It's a gargantuan conditioning propaganda campaign. My headline that I wrote on either Thursday's or Friday's program, can't remember, is this: FBI conducts intentional disinformation campaign. Okay, and then my next headline is, we are watching one of the most blatant media propaganda campaigns we have ever seen in our lives. And let me just start out by saying that I agree with your point 1,000%. It's not always a false flag, and it's not never a false flag. The smart person who watches and analyzes the media keeps a few things in mind. Number one, it isn't about opinion, it's about facts. Number two, it's not an emotional response, it's a reality check. Okay, and so you've got who, what, when, where, why, how. Those are the questions that you keep firmly in your mind. And what happened is Alex Jones quickly jumped to, oh man, it's a false flag for sure. Glenn Beck, on the other extreme, went to, oh, the media's telling the truth, don't worry, there's a few weird anomalies, but they're all justifiable, don't worry. And those are at both ends of the extreme, in my humble opinion. Now, I said on the first day after this thing happened that I got on the air. So it happened in the morning. I got on the air the next day. The first thing I said is this: we don't know if it's a false flag operation at all. What we do know, though, is there's incredible anomalies about this case that make you go, what on earth is going on here? And the evidence, the facts do not add up. There's a bunch of very strange things. And one of the telltale signs when you can tell that it's a false flag operation is when they start quickly blaming people. But yet, so they say this: we don't know who did it, but we know for sure the following. Da 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 da. You know they're lying, because you can't know the following if you don't know who did it. And they first said, hey, man, it was a Saudi guy. We're going to bust him. We got it. Well, that turned out to be bogus. They had to retract. Then they said, oh, man, it's got to be right-wing extremist Christians. Oh, they lied. They had to retract. Okay? And they act like they're making mistakes on this. They want to blame it on the viral media, the new media. They're wrong. The new media folks like me are very cautious, very reasoned. They're trying to discredit us in that with their media snafus. But the truth of the matter is, these are not media mistakes like they want you to believe. This is an intentional disinformation propaganda campaign. They're doing it on purpose, because then if you're not smart, you don't stay on target with the facts, the who, what, when, where, why, how. If you don't stick with those things, you get derailed so quickly to where your head spins. And then you say, you know what, I have no idea, but I know this. My government's got to be good. They cannot lie. They won't lie. They care about me. And I got to just turn it off because it makes me crazy. And that's what most of America is doing, and that's exactly what their disinformation campaign is designed to do. What you got to do is sit back and ignore all their rhetoric, ignore all their missteps, which they would say is by accident, I would say is intentional, and analyze the facts, okay? And the facts are, we know over and over and over historically, the government has been involved in false flag operations from World War II going forward. They knew Pearl Harbor was going to get attacked in World War II, and they let it happen, absorbed the first strike kind of deception. Okay, we know the Gulf of Tonkin. We know the USS Liberty. We know the Oklahoma City bombing. We know poor Vicky Weaver standing with a baby in her arms getting shot by a government-hired thug sniper named Lon Horiuchi. We know about the Randy Weaver case. We know about the Oklahoma City bombing. We know. I can keep going. We know. About Kenneth Trinidu and these people. We know Jesse, the attorney from Salt Lake City, dug into that big time. We know about these government intentional false flag operations. Eddie Miller, I want to open with that and have you start.
You ready? Oh, okay, looks like we're going to a break, Sam.
Yes, so give us a good teaser so we can come out of the other side loaded with barrels.
All right, Eddie Miller and Sam Bushman, James Edwards, when we come back, we're just getting started tonight, folks.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller in our Memphis studio. Sam Bushman in the network studio out in Utah, and he is our featured guest for the first hour tonight, making some great points, great coverage, great commentary on this Boston situation, what's gone on the last week. Eddie, I want you to pick up where we left off before that last commercial break.
All right, before Eddie picks up, I just want to say we are watching one of the most blatant media propaganda campaigns we have ever seen in our lives. The FBI is intentionally conducting a disinformation campaign like never before. They've done this historically, but it's ratcheted to new levels, ladies and gentlemen, to say the least. Historically, false flag operations have been conducted many, many, many times, and history, sad to say, is telltale with factual evidence of them that's beyond debate, factual proven. Let me quickly brief folks on what a false flag is. It started out, a false flag was when in wartime they would fly, or I'm sorry, they would run their ships under the flag as if they were a friendly, only to get close to attack. With that summary, let's turn it over to the military expert, Eddie. Is that right?
You're absolutely right, Sam.
All right, okay. Now let's dig into this historical reality. This is vital that people must understand.
You're absolutely right, Sam. You said a few key words: history. Who benefits? Motive, opportunity. Well, let's go back. Sam mentioned, I'll even go back to the Spanish-American War with the battleship Maine in Havana Harbor, where it's totally declassified now that American black ops, they didn't call it black ops then, but the same thing as black ops. The American government blew up the battleship Maine to get us into the Spanish-American War. And that's how we, if I'm not, Sam can correct me, but that's
no,
how
that's
we
accurate.
Wound up with the Philippine Islands,
accurate.
I believe.
Yes.
Okay. Fast forward from the Spanish-American War, the ship Lusitania, the Germans took out full-page headlines in the New York Times warning passengers not to travel on the Lusitania because they were going into waters that were, you know, there was open warfare going on between Germany and Britain. And this is on record, folks. The good old Winston Churchill steered that ship intentionally into the path, the known path where the German U-boats were patrolling, the wolf packs, and he knew there were American citizens on that ship, and he knew that if the ship was sunk, that Americans' tempers would be inflamed, and they would drag them, and they would probably come into the war. That's
he also knew that Americans wouldn't trust the Germans, even though they were correct.
That's right, and they, you know, and you mentioned the media then. The media has been lying ever since. They lied then. They portrayed the Germans out to be just like animals. They were, you know, they were lying to the American media. Okay, fast forward, like Sam said, from the Lusitania, come to World War II. I've read a book called, The New Dealer's War. If people can review that. It was written by a liberal Democrat by the last name of Fleming. He details the whole thing where FDR
set. And that's why it has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative. He nailed it.
Exactly, Sam. In Vietnam, my war, Sam mentioned the Gulf of Tonkin. It's declassified now. Even as much as I despised LBJ, even LBJ was in the dark for a while because all of the CIA, the people that wanted to get the United States into that war, were feeding him false info. And so the entire reason we got into Vietnam was for money for the international bankers and to change the social structure in here in the United States, because people were taking the government, the Vietnam War was so atrocious, and they had the people in such a frenzy, especially the young people. I remember those days all too well, that while they were saying, look at this hand, look at this hand right here, well, they were changing the social construct in this country right here. If people will look back, that's not too long after that when Johnson got the New Deal in. Okay, that's from Vietnam. Okay, I would like to get something that's near and dear to my heart. Mena, Arkansas. Right here.
All right, now let me back you up right there. Mena, Arkansas, a gargantuan drug trade corridor.
Gargantuan.
Led by Bill Clinton and crew. Believe it or not, after the Iran-Contra meltdown occurred, Ollie North and everybody else with their fingers in the cookie jar, made out to be heroes, bogus as all get out. They acted like that, went away and got resolved. The truth is it went underground. It went to Mena. You had all kinds of incredible folks like Terry Reed, who I used to interview back in the day. Those folks documented it 99 days from Sunday. Barry Seal. Steele and others dead over the issue.
That's right.
A huge drug running corridor. Bill Clinton was involved and aware of it, and it continues today through other corridors even now. False flag drug running operations. If you don't believe me, go look in the New York Times. Go look in the USA
That's
Today.
Right.
Go look in some of the Texas papers. Go look at the... anyway, you got all these papers that have documented it, and the culminating event that most people will know about is Operation Fast and Furious.
That's
where
right.
We armed the drug cartels. Even modern times, they got caught.
And Sam, like you said, in Mena, Arkansas, guess where the federal government were prosecuting Whitewater? Everybody, people, y'all might be too young to remember Whitewater.
Yes, Larry Nichols used to talk about that a lot too.
Guess where a lot of the papers were stored? They were stored in the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. What do you know? It got blown all to pieces, and that's been proven to be a total government job, inside job. And like you said, also Seb, Mena, Fast and Furious, and in between Mena, or actually probably before Mena, we had Gary Webb of the San Diego Mercury Star, who did like a 2-year research, and I mean an intense research on the CIA's bringing drugs into the United States. They were putting drugs, people, in the coffins of American soldiers in Vietnam. But don't worry, though. They were putting an American flag on top of the coffins when they sent them in
there
here.
There you go.
And now, and they were, Barry Seals, Gary Webb documented this, and he ran a big expose on the San Diego Mercury Star. And guess what? He committed suicide. He shot himself in the head twice with a shotgun.
Yeah, sure he did.
Hey, James. Hey, we'll let James get a little question here, but
right,
don't let him stay on there too long,
Sam. Let's just stick with this real quick, though. The San Jose Mercury News has documented CIA drug running as well. Several congressmen and senators have documented it as well. So you know what? Go do the research. It's there and true. And those are all government false flag operations, such as giving the blacks syphilis, intentionally so for experimental reasons. There's all kind of mind control programs that get there, too. Right on down to the downwinders of Utah that got all toxic and cancer and everything. It goes on and on, folks. It's absolutely – we could spend hours, James.
We really could. We could spend the whole show on this and barely scratch the surface. And I want to circle back to something we said at the top of the show, Sam, with regards to these instances. It's not always a false flag. It's not never a false flag. You and Eddie have covered some that most surely were false flags, and I agree with Eddie. You know, Vietnam's stretched out for years and years, and while all of the decent Americans were over there fighting, all of the social revolutionary change was taking place at home. So, you know, think about that, folks. But with regards to this situation, Sam, in Boston, is it too early to speculate as to if it was a false flag, if it was indeed?
No.
Why? Who
all
benefits?
Right.
Because, you know, I was thinking.
Let me lay it out.
I
got to
say this real quick.
Sure.
If it was Iranians, I mean, that plays into the hands of the Israeli lobby. If they could find a couple of Iranian Manchurian candidates, I mean, they've been trying to find a way to drum up public support for war in Iran so hard they can't stand it. But it wasn't. It was Chechens. I mean, it wasn't the usual suspects.
All right, let me lay it out like this. And when I said that the FBI is intentionally involved in a propaganda campaign, let me lay it out and explain it this way to you. Bill Hammer is a Fox News guy, and Bill Hammer of Fox News goes off on law enforcement officials for intentionally leaking suspect photos that were incorrect. In other words, they showed a bunch of guys in the media photos. They then released different photos, and then he was asked, is this the photo they released that you saw? And he said, no. So they intentionally sent wrong photos to people. So it's not a question is if the government's involved. The question really is how much is the government involved? Okay, one Boston bombing suspect killed, one escapes. Dead people don't talk, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, all Boston residents should stay indoors, according to the governor. Okay, Watertown, Massachusetts, you know what? Shut down entirely. Don't go outside. Two brothers lived in the United States for a decade. Oh, but the bomb suspects had no American friends. Okay, when you see contradictory headlines like this, when you see it's not the government made a mistake and released something, they intentionally released falsified information.
Sam, I've got to try to squeeze this. You're absolutely right, Sam. You mentioned the USS Liberty. That's one of the most atrocious false flags in history. This also is declassified. You know, we had Admiral John McCain, you know, Senator John McCain's dad was one of the head honchos in that area, the military operations of the world. He withdrew the fighter support. I'll tell people, the United States ship Liberty was an intelligence ship back in June of 1967. And they were gathering information between the Egyptian-Israeli war, six-day war, seven-day war, whatever it was. Well, see, the Israelis intentionally tried to sink the United States ship Liberty. They knew it was an American ship. They did their dead level best to sink that ship. They were going to blame it on the Egyptians. And our beloved president, LBJ, I can't tell you what he said on the radio, but he told the admiral of that fleet he wanted that blankety-blank ship sitting on the bottom of the ocean. He was not going to embarrass our wonderful Israeli allies, you know.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, quick pause. Hard-hitting talk radio live.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Let's just replay that a few more times. Hey, folks, if you picked up on the new production here, the new spot breaks, new songs, it's all, look, we're unveiling it all. A new website coming up in another week or two, and we've already got some new production elements here, thanks to the Lord of the Board, Art Frith. We're not going to get stale on it, and I tell you, if we have many more shows like this, I'm going to have to start taking something to slow down my heart rate. Eddie Miller and Sam Bushman are just destroying it tonight, and I mean that affectionately. They are knocking it out of the park. Before we get to Winston Smith, who has also called in to register his opinion on what's going on, I want to toss it back to Sam because I know he wants to answer a question that I posed. All we can do is speculate right now, but how does the agenda of the regime benefit? How can they spin this to their benefit with what happened in Boston, Sam? Because like I said, it wasn't Iranians. If it was Iranians, that fits like hand in glove. Okay, that's going to drum up popular support, public support for a war against Iran. If it was just people running around with guns shooting people, well, that makes sense because that can play into Obama's, you know, penchant for gun grabbing. But they were throwing crock pots at people, Sam. I mean, they were throwing bombs made out of crock pots. So you can't even say it was because of the gun agenda, anti-gun agenda, or anti-Iranian agenda. So what is it, Sam?
All right, this is incredibly multifaceted, and I'm going to try to break it down. The New York Times and everywhere now has documented that the FBI works with, plants informants alongside folks who eventually get to the brink of terror and committing a terrorist act. And then what the FBI does is try to circumvent that terror attack at the last minute, replace bomb-making material with harmless material, and pull the exercise at the last minute and then take credit for defusing the situation or saving the American people. The New York Times, USA Today, everybody has documented that the FBI intentionally does this. And in 1993, there was a bombing. And the FBI was involved in doing just that. It went wrong. At the last minute, they tried to make sure it was as no problem, but it turned out to be a significant problem because people died and it went off. So I submit to you that my summation of this is the FBI brought people to the brink. You see the family talking about this now of these supposed terrorists who were strangely in America for 10 years as youngsters, but yet they made no American friends. Come on, it isn't true. Okay, these guys are patsies right now. And they wanted to have a firefight at the end so that they can just keep that gun control agenda in the media. They wanted to have the FBI go ahead and do this so that they can be at the center of things. But the reality of this situation is it's not a false flag in the traditional sense. In other words, in the government intentionally doing this. What I think happened is the government wanted to bring this to the brink. They wanted to avert it at the last minute, and something went wrong. This happens whenever they have training exercises on the same day. That happened at 9/11. It happened now. They want to make this an issue where they can come up off as the rock stars that they saved the American people. Something went wrong at the last minute here. So it's not a false flag in the traditional sense, but I would say to you this, it's beyond doubt that the government's involved in some way. And I'll tell you why. You had a Channel 15 reporter interviewing a university cross-country coach. And he said, hey, man, there was bomb-sniffing dogs at the start and the finish lines. Hey, man, they were announcing this was training exercises. There was bomb spotters on the roof. You get Joel Skousen's report now, joelskousen.com, World Affairs Brief, talking about how, hey, you know what, the backpacks they claim these people had aren't the same color as the other backpacks in the video. Okay, you've got so many different anomalies that I'm convinced the government's involved in at the least the spin factor on this.
Hey,
for
Sam,
what agenda is hard to say.
Hey,
but
Sam,
overall, they're doing it for sure, and they're involved to what degree is still yet to be seen.
Hey, we're about out of time. Look, Sam, you mentioned multifaceted. It's been complex. Here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to one of their purposes, they want to demonize the military. They want to do away with the VA system. They're very fearful of the military because they've been trained. They want to demonize the Muslims, and they want to bring us into martial law. They had, to the best of my knowledge, Sam, they had military on the streets, like they had military on the streets in Memphis today. And they had the SEALs up there. So they've demonized the military. They got the Muslims and they got the martial law. Boston is the martial law camp that would make Joseph Stalin green with envy. And I'm going to turn it over to James.
Hey, and Sam, Eddie, I know you haven't read this article that I'm looking at right now, but what you said came right out of the mind of Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who's a good friend of ours. He's made multiple appearances on this show. I've met the man in person, former Secretary of the Treasury, Washington insider, heavyweight political analyst. And he said he thinks the purpose of the marathon bombing was to test how easily it would be to impose martial law on America. Before we get to Winston Smith, Sam, do you think that could be in play? Do you think
absolutely
that could be something
that's... Absolutely, it's dead easy. In fact, the governor said everybody stay inside their houses. They locked down multiple cities. It was a 24-hour-plus manhunt with basically the streets absolutely desolate. This was intentional, and they, you know, they always say never let a good crisis go to waste. Okay, I don't believe this was an intentional false flag from the get-go. I don't think Brock even really realizes what happened. What I do know, though, is this. You watch the spin from the media. You watch the conflicting stories. You watch how there's always got to be a gunplay element in it to promote gun control. There's always got to be an element of lockdown to promote martial law. There's always got to be an element of blaming the military, blaming the Muslims, blaming the right-wing extremists. Oh, the media got it wrong, but it's the new media at fault. We better go back to traditional, responsible media. They've got a gazillion. We're in a target-rich environment. They got a gazillion targets in their agenda. Make no mistake, they're involved. The question is how much, to what level, and who knew what when, and we don't know those answers.
Well, it's still early in this. This thing's going to continue to play out for weeks and months to come, so we'll keep tabs on it on this show and on this network. Winston Smith, are you with us?
Yes, I am, James. What a thrilling show.
I tell you what, I can't keep up with these guys tonight, man. I'm the youngest, but I must be out of shape. I know you said you wanted to come on for a cameo this evening, and a cameo is all we're going to have time for. By the time these guys don't even take a breath while they talk. It's amazing. But, Winston, I wanted to see if Eddie or Sam could nail it, and they both missed it. You know who's behind these attacks. You know the real perpetrator. Why don't you share it with us now?
Oh, I absolutely do. And Sam and Eddie, my elder brothers in arms, I love you. I respect you. But you're just dead wrong on this. The real perp behind every terrorist attack that has ever occurred in this country goes back to one man, Lee Greenwood. Every time he needs a little cash, he goes out and cooks up a mess of trouble, and radio stations start playing that song. I'm telling you, folks.
Lee Greenwood's going to be on the top 10 Billboard list this week. I can guarantee you that. Oh, man. But seriously, listen, you can, other than to expose Lee Greenwood for the, you know, he's kind of like Dr. Evil is what he is in the Austin Power movies, but... we only have about 2 or 3 minutes left, but there is something more in play that we have not had time to cover, and it is the fact that, you know, we saw the Salon article, the left-wing media is just clamoring. They said, you know, before they even knew who the patsies were, they were saying, we hope that they're white. We hope that white people did this. And if they're not white, which these guys weren't, they were going to claim that they're white anyway. They're passing these folks off, these two men, as Russians. And really, they're Chechnyans, which are more like Turkish folks than white Russians as we know them to be. And can you elaborate on the need or the desire for the media for these villains to be white?
James, up until a couple of weeks ago, up until before last week, these guys would have been proudly held up as so-called people of color. But now they perpetrate this sort of thing, if they did. You know, we really don't know the story behind it. But if they did, you know, there is this massive push in the mainstream media to make these guys out to be white. I would like to – we've seen a lot of pictures of them in the news, and I would like to see pictures of them before the media got a hold of them and probably digitally lightened their skin like they did pictures of George Zimmerman after Trayvon Martin assaulted him. The mainstream media, the MSM, their official plan is to make them to be white, nothing but white, and the whole – they're supposed to be white, the whole white, and nothing but the white. Nothing but white is acceptable for these guys.
And I might add, Winston, gun-toting whites.
Yes, that's – and bomb-making whites, too. they're trying everything they can to make guys out to be white, and they're saying – look, they're from the Caucasus Mountains. That means they're Caucasians. That means they're white. They're saying that yeah, their family were Muslims, but Islam had nothing to do with it.
Look, Winston, What's the you Bombardier and I agree. You've hit a home run. You've been on for 2 minutes, but you've already hit a grand slam because you're right. 2 weeks ago, these people would have been held up as the poster boys for diversity and multiculturalism, people of color. Now they're being recast as villainous white people, and much to the glee of the media.
Oh yeah! In fact, they've in addition to.
Okay.
Well, you mentioned the David Sirota article in Salon Magazine. By the way, you'll never find David Sirota in a Southern Baptist church or a Presbyterian church on Sunday morning, if you know what I mean. But he's coined a new phrase, white male privilege. He says that when a minority carries out mass killings, then every other member of that minority group suffers the consequences. But when a white man carries out one of those crimes, so-called white male privilege insulates all other white men from the stigma of that guy's actions.
Well,
now, did you catch that? White male privilege. That's right up there with the new phrase of the week, the new phrase of white hatred, and that is white Muslims. We're seeing this word white Muslims all over the place.
Well, and that's what these people were. I mean, you know, geographically speaking, they came from Southeast Asia. They came from a Muslim subsect of that part of the world. We only have seconds remaining. Eddie wants to get one word in.
Winston, I was going to say that... James's own mother thought that they were black. So I think you nailed it. I think they doctored the pictures. I mean, I'm not saying it's positive, but I think you hit it. I think you nailed it.
But don't go away.
All right, we
got
to go, folks. First hour down,
right
two to go. We'll be back. Thank you, Winston.
News,
thank you, Sam.
Radio
thank
Network.
You, Eddie.